Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Come on, let's give Jesus a massive round of applause. Thank you. That's better. He gets a good clap. Welcome to Sunday. Welcome to Pneuma East. Sorry, I am in La La Land. I think I'm still in awe of just what happened out there. Wow. Those of you who missed it, unfortunately, with the second service, having two services, we're trying to make things happen in between services so that people can come. But it was really, really powerful seeing 11 beautiful souls go through the baptism of the waters of baptism. The youngest one being 8. How good is that, eh? And then we had one of our seniors also going through, and everybody in between. So beautiful. Those of you who yesterday we had our prophetic summit for the very first time in the city at Griffith Street. If we can have that up there, please, Maz, that would be great. But this tonight at 4 p.m., Richard Gordon is from Bethel Church. And we had our prophetic conference summit yesterday, which was, I've been to many, but this was at another level. There's something new and fresh happening within Pneuma. It's like there's this new release. I can't explain it to you, but yesterday, anybody that was there? Paulina? Oh, we've got a couple of hands going. It was dynamic. Richard is speaking. He's been speaking at youth. Those of you who had youth, go to youth through to the city. The youth were rocked. My daughter, who has been nagging to go to the Melbourne Zoo, had the opportunity. Thanks, you're amazing. Go to the Melbourne Zoo on Friday. She couldn't go because her brother graduated from Navy. Edward graduated. So he finished his basics, which is great. And then she got the opportunity to go yesterday. But coming back from Friday night from youth, she goes, I'm not going to the zoo. I said, you what? You're not going to the zoo? You've whinged and nagged all this time, and you know you're not going to the zoo. She goes, no, I've got to be in the church. She goes, I want more of what I had on Friday night. That's my girl. So the kids were touched. So if you're not doing anything at 4 o'clock, make your way over to the city. It's going to be amazing. That's just a good little plug. Why do we do these things? Because we want our people to be equipped, touched, changed for all eternity. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you today, we open our hearts and our minds to receive the wisdom and truth of your word. May the Spirit of God descend upon each and every single one of us. The disciples at Pentecost were ignited by the fire, and we say, come and do that again. Come today and do that again in Jesus' mighty name. We also ask, Lord God, that you'll ignite our souls with passion, fire, love, grace, mercy, Holy Spirit. What you did on Pentecost, we want you to do again. We want you to do again. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 This month is also a month of prayer. So we've done 12 days of prayer and fasting, consecration. Anybody glad fasting's over? Nobody? Nobody? Oh, you are. Yeah, I am very much. Guess what I had for dinner last night? Lamb chops on the barbecue. After 12 days, my goodness, they were great. They were great. But in this month of prayer, we've been focusing on prayer in different ways, in different areas. And today I just want to focus again on that topic, bringing it out of Pentecost. The Hebrew word for Pentecost, or the Hebrew word, let me start again. This day, the word Pentecost was actually part of a Jewish festival. It is in the Old Testament, it was regarded to as Shavuot, or the Day of First Fruits. The Greek is known as Pentecost or Pentecoste, which is the same but means 50 days after Passover. 50 days after Passover. It's one and the same festival that was celebrated back in the days. The significance of that here today on the day of Pentecost is that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which we read about in the book of Acts, happens 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus and fell on this day, which we now refer to as the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost included two things. Number one, it included the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And number two, it included the birth of the church. The difference here, though, were the first fruits. Remember, this is a festival of the first fruits. The first fruits on that day was not wheat, but it was souls. You see, because the first believers heard the gospel, were transformed, inspired, convicted by Holy Spirit, and baptized on that day. They were the first fruits of the vast harvest of millions of souls that are still coming in today. But like I said, today I want to focus on something different. I want to focus on the before of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the before of the tongues of fire, the before of the mighty rushing wind. Because you know what? We read about these things and we get enamored by the wind and the tongues of fire, and we forget what preceded that day. We forget about the sacrifices that needed to be made. We forget about the laying down of oneself. We forget about the putting aside of own agendas by these people, which got them to the place of, as we read in Acts 8, receiving the Holy Spirit and power. The thing that they did was pray. It was pray. We forget about those things. A lot of us walk around with our own agendas. They had to lay it down. They had to come together and lay these things down, sacrifice their own needs so that they could see the manifestation happen. So if you've got your word, you've got your Bibles here, let's get our Bibles out because we're going to read a bunch of scripture. Let's turn to Acts 1, and we're going to read from verses 12 to 14. Acts 1, verses 12 to 14. And keep your finger, keep it open because we're going to go over to Acts 2 later. I read out of the NIV. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Now the Greek here actually uses the definite article of the upstairs room. It's thought that it is the same room where they met with Jesus for the Last Supper. So they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James. Verse 14 is very crucial. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Now that right there is your first picture of corporate prayer. That right there says to me something which I think we lack a lot within our church and within the church, capital D, capital C, is where the church joined together constantly in prayer. Along with women, it's funny that they had to separate the woman, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. The New King James Version says they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Folks, we have to hear this today. Fervent and persistent prayer is prominent and really, really needed within the church. We read in Acts, the whole of the book of Acts, throughout actually the Bible, where there is fervent and persistent prayer that is raised up. In this instance, the prayer is an obedient response to Jesus' command out of Acts 1:4, where he says, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which you have heard me speak. They had to wait. Say to your neighbor, wait. They had to wait for what the Father had promised. Who loves to wait? Nobody. We had one person in the other service, which was pretty full. I detest waiting. Just so that you all know, I am let's make it happen kind of person. I am the person that says, I say to my family, don't wait for it to happen, make it happen. Yes, anybody say that to their kids? I say that constantly to my kids. You know what? I don't like to wait. Society doesn't like to wait. Nobody likes to wait. But that was the very key that they needed. That was the very key they had to do. They had to wait. They didn't whinge. They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They waited as they did that. They didn't whinge. They prayed for how long? They prayed for a whole 10 days after the ascension of Jesus. How did they pray? Was it sporadic? Was it every now and again? No. They prayed consistently. They prayed constantly. It's important to note here that Jesus didn't say to them, pray for one day or 10 days or 5 days or 100 days or for 50 days. Jesus said, wait for what the Father has promised you. And what was that that the Father had promised? Was Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Spirit comes on you. Folks, they did not know all the details. This is a word for somebody. They did not know all the details. They did not know if it was 50 days. They didn't know if they had to pray in the morning, noon, or night. They didn't know if it had to be constant. They waited and they prayed with an expectation. 120 of them bunkered down to do this. Now, right there, I reckon, is a lesson that we can all learn. How many of us rush into the next thing? How many of us lose patience? How many of us discard the mission? We jump off the wagon because, you know why? It's not going according to the way we thought it should happen. Am I speaking to anybody here or am I just speaking to myself? We don't like to wait. So we jump. We make decisions. Some of us make really rash decisions instead of waiting, praying, hearing, and then moving. They waited and prayed. Now, Acts 2:1-4 says this. When the day of Pentecost came, now remember that was a holiday. That was a festival. It's like the king's birthday holiday. It was a festival. It was a day that they named. It was a day of the first fruits. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. On that day, they were all together in one place. They did it together. It's important. There was unity. They were in complete agreement. They were in one accord. Which I want to suggest to you today led to verse 2. Suddenly, it wasn't like, oh, there's something happening. It was a suddenly. Say to your neighbor, suddenly. It was a suddenly a sound. Like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Now, what the scholars say is that sound was like a couple of Boeing jet engines. Suddenly. I mean, that would freak us out, wouldn't it? Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from the heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. That's a sermon in itself. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. I want to lay in front of us and to remind us this morning the indispensable role of prayer in this outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that day. I want to put before us the indispensable role of prayer in your faith journey and my faith journey today. Prayer is not merely just a ritual. Prayer is not merely just a tick the box. Prayer is not merely just a religious duty. It is a lifeline that connects us to the source of life. It is a lifeline that connects us to the love and the power of God. It is a lifeline. It is the umbilical cord of the believer to the Father. You would not be sitting here if there was not an umbilical cord. This is our umbilical cord. Prayer is the umbilical cord. What is prayer, JJ? Good question. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is spending time with God. Communion with God. Pentecost was preceded by a period of fervent prayer, fervent communion with God. By who? By the disciples. They devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to thanksgiving. Why for? For the waiting upon the promise that Jesus had spoken about. Another way to say this is that they were actually seeking and awaiting God's guidance and empowerment. How many of us need guidance? How many of us need empowerment? That is the key that we have to take, is that it is in the prayer that they found the guidance. It is in the prayer that they saw the empowerment and they found the empowerment. This waiting and praying led to them being in one accord, not only with one another, but one accord with also with God. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. As they came into alignment, as they came into the will of God, as they came into alignment, it set them up for the next, which was being receptive to the Spirit. That's what it was all about. Now that they had been praying and they'd been waiting, they'd laid aside their agendas, they'd sorted out their issues. They were now in one accord. They were now ready and they were receptive. They were open for the Holy Spirit to suddenly come down upon them. Suddenly. It came down upon. It wasn't a quick Sunday pre-service prayer. It wasn't a Jesus to-do list quick prayer before I ran out of the door. No. It was a consistent, it was a fervent, it was a persistent communion with God, which opens up the heart to receive what God wants us to do. The church needs this. Not the building. You are the church. The church, and I'm speaking to myself. The church needs to be more fervent and more consistent with communion with God. You see, these people bunkered down. We need to bunker down. These people persevered. We need to persevere. We need to be like a bulldog that does not let go. We need to be like a Jacob who wrestled with God, saying, I will not let you go until you bless me. In Genesis 32, 30, he says, Daniel calls the place Peniel, and which says, I saw God face to face, and yet my life. I saw God face to face. Here's a question for you. When last did you wrestle with God in prayer? When last did you wrestle with God in prayer until you came to him face to face? I constantly hear, oh, revival is here. I constantly hear, God wants to do a new thing. I constantly hear, God is pouring out new one. And yes, he is. And I love it. And I'm not making fun of it. I say it myself. But you know what? I am actually quite tired of hearing it. The news flash is God needs new wineskins for the new wine. And you know who the new wineskins are? You are the new wineskins. Look at your neighbor and go, you're a good-looking wineskin. You are the wineskin that he wants to pour the Spirit out. His Spirit goes nowhere else but in you. His Spirit goes where you go. Like my shadow is going where I'm going, so the Holy Spirit goes where you go. You are the wineskin. Come on, church. You and I are the wineskins. He's the God that never changes. He's the God that's the same yesterday. He's the God that's the same today. He's the same God tomorrow and forevermore. He never changes. He's a God that never lies. And you know what? On the day of Pentecost, He poured out His Spirit on those 120 that were gathered together. And guess what? We are about 100 here today. And don't start counting. And he starts sitting here and He goes, I want to pour my Spirit out on those people. Are you ready? Are you praying? Are you pushing in? Are you fervent? Are you consistent? Are you laying aside? Are you putting your agendas down? Are you going, God, it's all about you. It's not about me. It's all about you. That's what He did it then. He wants to do it now. JJ, you're preaching up a storm. Why does He want to do this? Let's ask this question. Why did He do it on the day of Pentecost? Answer. To empower them for their ministry. Why does He want to do it today? To empower you for your ministry. I'm not a minister. Yes, you are. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what job you have. Doesn't matter what business you own. You are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The day you put your hand up and said, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, you signed a contract with Him. He then on that day said, I choose to live within you. That's my seal of approval. You are His ministers. And you need empowering. I need empowering. Every single day. Empowerment. You know what? God doesn't just want to fill us on Pentecost Sunday. He wants to fill us daily. He wants to fill us daily for the empowerment of our ministry. JJ, why do you say that? Because here at the day of Pentecost, these guys were there, the wind, the flames of fire. You like my little flames? They got up out of there. They walked out. And as they walked out, there were hundreds, thousands of people that had gathered for the festival. And they looked at them and they started laughing and they started making fun of them and they started saying, oh, they drunk. But oh, Pete, you know the apostle Peter? Pete says, oi, very Aussie. Oi, they're not drunk, mate. They are full with the Spirit. And he goes on and he tells him, you can go and read it yourself. He tells him about the prophet Joel and he tells him about Jesus and he tells him all these kind of things and he brings out the first very Pentecostal Holy Spirit fire-inspired preach. Telling them to change their attitudes, to change their options, to turn towards Christ, to be baptized, and to, in the name of Jesus, and to acknowledge that they've accepted Him and follow Him. And in Acts 2:41, it says this, they who accepted and welcomed His message were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. Go, 3,000. 3,000. 3,000. 3,000. The empowerment enabled the delivery. The delivery advanced the kingdom. We need empowerment to enable us to deliver and to bring heaven to earth so that lives can be touched and changed for all eternity. You've got to see this. The disciples who prayed were not only filled with the Spirit, but they were also empowered for the mission. Prayer is the catalyst, church. Prayer is the catalyst for effective ministry. As I've said, each one of you are called to ministry for His kingdom. Your purpose is not to build an empire or a business or build the biggest house. Your business on this earth as a believer is to advance and build His kingdom, to populate heaven, to plunder hell, and to populate heaven. That is the task that you and I have as believers. We are called to make disciples of all nations. May I suggest something? I've got three yeses. That's good. May I suggest something? That the birth of Pentecost, the Pentecostal movement, did not start with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It started with the people. It started with the disciples waiting on their knees and praying and interceding and being in one accord. The outpouring was the result of the prayer, the kneeling, the supplication, going through what they went through here. Does it make sense? We forget about that. We love this, but we forget about that. We can't anymore. It's time. God is calling His church. God is calling His church back to His purposes. God is calling His church, that's you and I, back to being the ones that He uses, the agents, the ones who go before and the ones who take the kingdom into the world and into our society. It started with the people being in one accord. That word one accord is homothemeidō. It means this, being unanimous, having unity, having one mind and purpose. Lord Jesus, may we be of one mind and purpose. Lord Jesus, may Pneuma East be known as believers of one mind and one purpose. We have trouble when 3,000 people want to come into these doors. We have 310 seats here. We got a problem. Houston, we have a problem. But it's a good problem to have. It's a good problem to have. Unity is important. Prayer is the instigator of unity. It's out of prayer and supplication which unlocks the unity. The unity in turn makes us receptive to the Spirit, which in turn empowers us for ministry. I want to say this as well today. Pentecost is not a one-time event. It does not come around annually. As we look at the book of Acts, it was the beginning of the ongoing work of the Spirit in the believers' lives. The requirement to see this manifest, this power, these miracles, these signs, these wonders, is waiting and praying. Waiting and praying. So I charge you. I charge you today as the Pneuma East family. I charge you to be known for your praying and your supplication. I charge you not to just pray on a Sunday, but to pray on a Monday to a Sunday. I charge you because when you pray on a Monday to a Saturday, it will manifest in this place on a Sunday. Why? Because we will be in one accord. We will be of one mind and one purpose. What is that, JJ? The only thing that will be on our minds is Jesus. Your presence is all that we want. Jesus, your name is on our lips. That will be our constant thing, will just be Jesus. But you know what? That could only happen when we're praying from the Monday to the Saturday. What do we want to do? We want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We want to host His presence, and we want to glorify His name and His name only. Hear my heart. My heart is not that we build an empire. My heart is not that we build Numa East. My heart is that we build the kingdom of God. If we are only going to try and fill these seats because, you know, numbers are important, no, we've got the wrong mindset. We want to fill these seats through the Holy Spirit who goes out and brings people in. Why? Because we're in one accord in this place. Because when we worship, we are joining together. When we give, which is part of your worship, we are joining together. When we speak, we are joining together. No matter what we do, we are always joining together. I guarantee you this. When we all pray Monday to Saturday, worship will be different on Sunday. Worship will be different on Sunday. We won't be coming in here and trying to focus and trying to get rid of distractions and standing. We'll be here with our eyes shut, pressing in, pushing in. Stan says, raise your hands. He wouldn't even have to say that. Because your hands will be raised because his presence will be in the room. You see, when we pray on a Monday to a Saturday, I can guarantee you that signs, wonders, and miracles will be right here on a Sunday. I can guarantee you that unsafe people will be flooding through those doors constantly. I can guarantee you that newly saved people will be coming here, not because JJ and Pauline are great, not because we have the most amazing worship team, which, by the way, we do. I'm a little bit biased, but anyway. But they'll be here because the presence is in this place. That's what I run after. That's what I run after. After his presence. After his presence. I can guarantee you pray, you and I, and as a family, we pray Monday to Saturday. Guess what? On Sunday, we'll see thousands added to numbers over the years and the weeks. That's what we're here for. So here's your challenge. As you know, we always finish with a challenge. My challenge is this. Let me ask about asking a question. How's your prayer life? Is it hit and miss? It's okay. It's okay. It's okay if it's hit and miss. You don't have to look down. You can still look me in the eyes. My prayer life is hit and miss at times. My prayer life was very hit and miss. Can I be real? Can I be real? Yeah. Thanks. Three people said it. Can I be real, sweetie? I can be real. My wife said I can be real. I can be real. Don't look at a pastor and think he's got it all together. Don't. Don't put him on a pedestal. You've got the wrong person on the pedestal. Put Jesus on the pedestal. He's perfect. And when I read through this, Jesus spent time with the Father. Constantly. Consistently. Fervently. Just be like him. What I'm saying is, don't do what I've done. I've been there. Where it's just been a ritual. Tick the box. No, no, no. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to. Be intentional. Be intentional. Be intentional. Set the alarm. I can be honest with you. My family can be the witnesses here. I'm not standing here telling you to do something I don't do. I have got it a little bit better. Many, 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 many mornings I'm awake very early. 3:30, 4. You got to know when God's talking to you, when you keep getting woken up at 3:30, 4 every morning. It's like, God, can I just sleep? But I still set my alarm. I'm still out of bed at 5:30 at the latest. At the latest. Ask my wife. Doesn't matter what time I get into bed. This has been a crazy week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, today, it's been, for today, it's been full on. This morning I set my alarm, not at 5:30, at 5. Because I knew this is the day of Pentecost. I had to be here to come and help set up for baptisms. bring some stuff over. I took that all into regard. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm just giving you a little bit of a glimpse into my life. But I went back and I spent time with Papa God. It's crucial. I cannot afford to leave this house. Any house. Cannot afford to walk out of a door without first spending time with Father. I cannot. I have in the past. I have. So I'm not convicting you. It's not my job to convict you. It's Holy Spirit's job. I'm just sharing with you what the scripture says. I'm sharing with you with passion because I'm passionate about this. You cannot do this alone. You need God. So here's the goal. If you're praying once a week, pray twice. If you're praying four times a week, pray five times. If you're praying six times, pray seven. If you're praying seven, go 14, morning and night. Challenge yourself. I can tell you this place will be different. I can tell you your family will be different. Your life will be different. Your children will be different. It will make a difference. God does not call us into a Sunday relationship. He calls us into a continuous relationship. He waits every morning for you, for me. I call it coffee time with Jesus. If you haven't heard the podcast, we did a podcast for consecration. I think it's day six. Go and listen to it because I share some of my story. And I also share a lot about my prayer life and my journaling. Go and listen to that. You'll learn a little bit more there. But I've got an example and I want to close with this. In the morning you wake up. But what you don't know is downstairs in the lounge area there's somebody that's already made you a cup of coffee and is waiting for you. Waiting for you in the lounge. Got the heater going, the fireplace going. But you're so busy. You're running around and you know, you're showering, brushing teeth, shaving, doing all your stuff, getting ready. And then you're rushing around because you cannot find your brown shoes and you don't want to wear black shoes and you can't find the right shirt and the right t-shirt and these clothes. It's just a string. And you're rushing around like a crazy thing. And you rush downstairs and you pack your lunch. And all the time you've got a loved one waiting in the lounge. Just to say good morning and have time with you. But you ignore them. And you continue rushing around. You chuck your lunch in. You get it in. Oh, my gosh, I've left the keys upstairs. You're running upstairs. Grab the keys. You rush out the door. And the loved one just wants to say, have a great day. Similar to Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. I believe personally that Jesus... I believe God is just waiting for that intimate time with you, first thing in the morning. The word says that his mercies are new every morning. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday. You wake up and it's like, wow, I have a fresh start today. I stuffed up yesterday, but today's a fresh start. But Father God is waiting for you to have a little bit of communion time with you. But you rush around, oh, I haven't got time, I've got to go because I've got this meeting, and you grab your bag, and you grab your computer, you rush out the door, and Father God is left behind going, son, I just wanted to bless you. But you know what's amazing about our God? He doesn't stay in the lounge room. Our Father God actually climbs with you in the car, hoping that even in the car you're going to have a conversation with him. You get to work, he's with you at work. You're in the tea room having lunch, he's sitting at the table, eagerly waiting to have a convo with you, but you're on Facebook, Insta, for a whole hour. Time sticking by. Oh, I've got to go. But he gets up and he goes to all your afternoon meetings. He sits in those meetings with you. Because he's a God that never leaves you nor forsakes you. He doesn't stay behind when you move. He moves with you. You get home and you've got the family, you've got the kids and it's busy and you're making dinner and it's laughing and it's tickling and you put them to bed and you say prayers with them and Father's standing there and he's smiling and he's touched, but he just wants to commune with you. And you climb into bed and you're exhausted and you go. And he pulls up the doona and he, good night, son. And he goes and takes his place back in the lounge waiting for tomorrow morning. It's a picture. But unfortunately, the church lives that kind of lifestyle. What I'm saying to you today, church, is let's be different. Let's be different. Let's change. Let's bring prayer back as a priority in our lives. I'm going to dob him in. I won't mention names, but one of my sons said to me the other day, I had to make this decision, blah, 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 blah. I said, so what did you do? He said, I asked God, and I really sense God saying this. That's communion with God. Doesn't always have to be in the prayer closet. Can be in the car. Can be at the lunch table. It can be in the walk. When you're going around the track, you know, the power walk, stage makes too much noise, otherwise I could be a little bit funny. When you've got the AirPods on, listening to other music, commune with him. Doesn't always have to be in the lounge room, so to speak. It could be right here. I find myself driving, just going, thank you, Jesus. See a tree, thank you, Jesus. These beautiful trees that have changed all these colors. Kids, look, look, look. Isn't that beautiful? God is so good. Yes, God is good. That's communion. Doesn't have to be, oh, Father, heavenly, shandai. No, it doesn't have to be that. Communion. What am I doing? I'm communing. Is this okay? Is this challenging? I love you all. I love you, love you, love you, love you. I feel safe, and I know this is being received well. I feel this in my spirit. But Pauline and myself, we really, really want to see our prayer go to another level.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.